Evo Devanjana Gata Srijati Smati Lolupan Enam Lalupataya Maitunaya Bipedere. The more one is free from the desires of sex, the more he is promoted to the level of the demigods. The more one is inclined to enjoy sex, the more he is degraded to the level of demoniac life. The demons from his buttocks, and they were very fond of sex. Because they were too lustful, they approached him for copulation. The basic principle of material existence is the desire to enjoy, apart from our spiritual constitutional nature. The constitutional nature of the soul is Satchidananda, eternal, blissful, with all knowledge. And that ananda is enjoying. The constitutional nature of the soul is Satchidananda, eternal, blissful, with all knowledge. And that ananda is enjoyed or experienced in its pure state when our goal is to please Krishna. Radha Gopinath are the supreme enjoyers. And all spiritual and material creations are meant for their enjoyment. When we forget this principle, we come under the illusion of Maya. We think I am the enjoyer, or we want to give enjoyment to other illusioned persons who are under the same spell of trying to acquire sense gratification. So this is the dilemma of this material world. We want to enjoy, but we do not know what is enjoyment. What is the cause of suffering we take to be pleasurable? Prahlad Maharaj explained that sex life is like an itch. If you have an itch, if you're intelligent, you do not scratch it. Because the more you scratch it, the more it becomes inflamed and makes you suffer. There are certain plants that create outbreaks of unbelievable itching sensations. In the West, there's one common plant called poison ivy. If you touch it, it makes this red mark on you that itches unbearably. As soon as you scratch it, wherever you touch after you scratch it, it spreads there. And it can spread to your whole body, where your whole body is just bright red, and it's just itching unbearably. It's like a hellish planet. You cannot sleep. So the tendency is to scratch it. But the more you scratch it, the more it itches. It feels very, by material standards, it feels ecstatic when you scratch it. Because it itches so much when you scratch it. It's just, it feels so nice. You just want to keep scratching and scratching and scratching. But as you're scratching, it's getting redder and bigger and spreading. And as soon as you stop, it's worse and worse and worse. The only way, when children have it, sometimes their parents, they literally tie their hands They tie their hands behind their back or in front of them so they can't scratch it. Sometimes they put different kinds of band-aids and they just tear off the band-aids and scratch, 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 scratch. You just go mad scratching it. And the more you scratch, the more you suffer, the worse it gets. So Krishna has put these plants on this earth to show us what is the life of material existence. Maithuna agara. The ultimate enjoyment is the enjoyment of sex. Why? Because we come to this world and we remain in this world because of our enviousness toward God. Generally, people will never admit that they're envious toward God. But in action, we can understand the principle is true. Because if God is the supreme and only enjoyer of everything that exists, if He is the proprietor of all planets, demigods, and everything within it, then the act of trying to enjoy what belongs to God, the act of wanting to be glorified when all glory is meant to God, is an expression of envy of God. Whether we are conscious of that reality or not, the principle is envy. So in this world, the Lord is the creator, the Lord is the maintainer, the Lord is the destroyer. Through Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, who are guna avatars. That means they are specially empowered by the Lord. That means through Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu, the Supreme Lord is actually creating, maintaining, and destroying the entire universe. Now these guna avatars also represent the three modes of material nature. Brahma is the lord of the mode of passion, Rajaguna, and his primary function is to create. Shiva, Tamaguna, to destroy. And Vishnu, Sattvaguna, to maintain. So according to the particular mode of material nature that we are imprisoned by primarily, we will try to enjoy, due to our envy of God, accordingly. So those who are in the mode of passion, to them, their enjoyment is to try to take the, to try to enjoy the potency that God has given them to create. And within every man and woman, or male and female, we should say, the creative potency comes through the act of sex. Whatever species of life, even the plants, they're having sex in their own way through pollination and so forth. And the fish and the lizards and the animals, Maithuna Agara, this principle of the creative potency wanting to express itself is so very strong due to the mode of passion in all species of life. So we want to enjoy that creative potency, which is God's potency. And therefore, those who are in the mode of passion, they are very much victimized by the desire for sex life. And they derive immense so-called pleasure through this act. Now, as civilization becomes more and more degraded, people want to enjoy this creative potency without even creating, simply for the purpose of the enjoyment without even serving its purpose. The purpose is to produce offspring. But we want to enjoy the experience of creation without creating, because we don't want to take the responsibility of the byproduct of our action. And this is called illicit sex. Illicit sex is of two categories. One is for the purpose of just having the enjoyment without taking the proper responsibility. And when you accentuate that into very, very deeper, more horrible sin than it is without even the proper religious sanction of marriage. So those in the mode of passion are very much tormented by this desire to express their envy of God through sex life. Those who are terribly demented by the mode of ignorance, they take their pleasure in destroying, in torturing people, in killing people. That's their sex life. They derive immense emotional and physical pleasure by seeing how people could die under their power. It's simply envy of God. God is the ultimate destroyer. So we want to see how we have such control, we have such power that people will die at my hands. And we see people who are crazy, even mass murderers. Sometimes they take position of heads of state, of governments. And what kind of gratification they get, an ordinary person cannot understand. It's so degraded, it's so demoniac. But they get enthralled, exhilarated with pleasure when they see that under my command, either in my hand or by my command, I can end another person's life. It's very, very demoniac due to the mode of ignorance. And what is it, essentially? We're trying to take the position of God as the destroyer. And those who are in the mode of goodness, they derived immense fulfillment by maintaining others, by being charitable, by keeping people fed, by keeping people hospitalized nicely, by keeping people well-dressed, by providing facilities of water and proper sewage and everything like that. It's more in the mode of goodness to maintain. But when we think I am the maintainer, that is another type of envy of God, because ultimately Krishna is the maintainer. All we can be is instruments. We can be instruments of creation, maintenance, or destruction according to the mode of nature that we happen to be influenced most by. So here we find this mode of passion, this, of course, passion and ignorance combined. It's creating such a unbearable state of consciousness that Brahma's own sons are attacking him to have sex. No discrimination whatsoever. And this is to the extent that this misuse of a sacred potency of the Lord can become demoniac. The idea that we were speaking of this itching, as Prahlad Maharaj explained. He says that sex life, which is the basic principle of the entire material existence, because it's what keeps the material existence going. It keeps the reproduction, the expansion of all species going on. If no one had sex life, there would be no material universe. All species of life, if they didn't have that burning desire, there would just be no population anywhere. It would just be barren. Everyone would go back to Godhead. It's as simple as that. Therefore, Prabhupada explained in one wonderful lecture the meaning of liberation. He said, meaning of liberation is no sex desire. When you have no sex desire, you're liberated. To the degree you have sex desire, to that degree you are under the bondage of the modes of material nature, and you have to suffer. Therefore, the whole Varnashram system is essentially to regulate that desire that is within everyone who is a conditioned soul within this world. For those who are somehow or other, by their strong determination and their proper training in previous lives, they're just willing to say no to it, to tolerate it, they are brahmacharis. And for those who it's just too difficult, it's too disturbing to their mind, they just cannot be properly peaceful, they cannot be properly productive in their particular occupational or service duties, their mind is just too much disturbed, then grihastha ashram. But the whole idea of grihastha is based around the principle of controlling and restricting the sex impulse. One who does not restrict it is grihamedi. One who restricts it is grihastha. That means they try to channel that for productive devotional purposes. And to the degree one is able to do that, to that degree, one becomes detached from the bondage of material sufferings. So in this sense, for a man and woman who come together under this principle, where they're genuinely striving to live according to the principles of purity and service, that grihastha ashram becomes like a fortress, like a fort to protect one from maya. But Srila Prabhupada explains very nicely that the whole principle of grihastha ashram, the whole principle of vanaprastha ashram, the whole principle of sannyasa ashram and brahmachari ashram is to give up sex life. To somehow or other transcend this most critical expression of our envy of God, wanting to be the enjoyer, wanting to be the creator, or misusing the creative potency simply for the purpose of enjoyment. But in order to do so, it takes two things. Whether we are brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprastha, sannyasi, it takes the willingness to tolerate the itch. And in order to tolerate the itch, we have to be philosophically strong enough to discriminate what's actually happening. A foolish person, when they get poison ivy, they'll just scratch, 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 and it gets bigger and bigger and worse and worse and worse, and it never goes away. This disease will never go away until you stop scratching. It'll last your whole life until you finally come to the conclusion, no, I've suffered enough, I will not scratch it. And there's different types of medicines that you can put on to somehow or other relieve the itch. But even with that, if you scratch it, it continues, it perpetuates. So similarly, when we understand what this process of scratching is doing to us, then we tolerate. So it is very important. We must understand these spiritual devotional principles. Materialistic people, especially where there is no heritage of actual religious culture, they have no idea, they have no conception that it even should be restricted because of the momentary feeling that it provides. They think it's very good. In fact, they think that it's sent by God. It's the gift of God because it makes us feel so nicely. I have told you before, when I was at one time giving a lecture at Franklin University in Columbus, Ohio, There was maybe 120 students in a class. And afterward, myself and one godbrother of mine who arranged the program, we were asked by the professor, who was a lady, to answer certain questions. And she was a Christian. And she was very proud of her devout faith in the teachings and the mercy of Lord Jesus Christ. So she said that, "I consider that your celibacy is an offense to God. It is probably the biggest offense one can commit to God is to be celibate." Of course, she's a very highly ranked professor. So we respectfully said, "Can you explain?" And she said that sex is the ultimate gift that God has given to the world. Because it feels so nice that this pleasure is a gift of God to all species of life, especially to human beings. And if you're not enjoying that pleasure of the gift that God has given you, you're actually just being ungrateful to God. Therefore, it's a great offense to God. You're rejecting something very, very wonderful that He's given you. So I asked, "Jesus Christ never had sex. Do you consider He was offensive to God? And of the apostles, the original followers of Jesus, except for one or two, they never had sex. They were all celibate. They were offensive to God. Therefore, the whole founders of your religion were offensive to God. So why do you even follow a religion that has been promoted and descended to this world by people who are all offensive to God?" She said, "I never thought of it that way. Maybe you're right." So people don't come to this idea that it's a diseased itch and we have to tolerate it. And simultaneous to tolerating it, because the soul is pleasure-seeking, we have to find our pleasure somewhere else. And that comes through devotional service, the path of bhakti. By dancing, by chanting, by taking prasad, by performing wonderful services, we're active and we get a higher pleasure. Param drishtva nivartate. In this way, gradually, as our life goes on, we can overcome this most critically entangling form of bondage. And the results of misusing this divine energy of the Lord and perverting it for our own personal interests, it creates the most terrible, terrible environment within our society. In the Western world, most all children that have become criminals are either illegitimate, that means not from married mothers or fathers, or they were just born as a mistake and the parents don't even want them and don't even care for them. And if these little children are not getting the proper emotional love and support, they become frustrated. And if you're in society where people naturally take out frustration in all kinds of violent ways, they become criminals. They become total menaces to society. It's terrible. There's no safety for anyone anymore. What to speak of abortion, murder of children, massive, massive individual and collective sinful reactions come from such an activity. And what is the root cause of it? The inability to control this desire. And many of the catastrophes that are taking place and that will take place are very strongly affected by the reaction of millions of innocent little babies being murdered every year. Whether you kill the child in the womb or out of the womb, murder is murder. According to the Shastra, according to the laws of karma, governments can make their own laws, but that doesn't mean that you're not subjected to the laws of nature. In your house, you can make a law that I can steal from anyone because if it will help me to make my house a nicer place to live. That's the law of my house. So then you go and steal, and the government comes and says, to jail you go. You say, no, our family made our own law. We're allowed to do this. We have our constitution. You see our law books? The government will just say, you are a fool, you are crazy, you have no right. So similarly, governments are like little families making their own little laws in different parts of the world. But there's the laws of God, the supreme government, and the ministers are demigods. One of them is Yamaraj. And if you break their laws, you're responsible, you have to pay. So there's so much turbulation and trouble due to the unrestricted expression of trying to enjoy apart from Krishna through sex life. The basic principle of material existence, the basic principle of material bondage is this desire to enjoy. And Krishna has made it so this is the ultimate enjoyment on the physical and emotional level of material existence. So at the very beginning of this particular kalpa, the Lord is showing what this material life is all about. Brahma is creating after his night. He's recreating the various functions of the universe. Every time he goes to sleep by the will of the Lord, there's massive devastation. And when he wakes up, he practically has to start over again. Brahma lives 100 years, 365 days a year. What is 365 times 100? Huh? 365,000? Huh? That's how many times Brahma has to recreate the universe. 36,500 times. And every time he does, it's a frustrating experience. Here we find that these personalities come out of his rear side. This is the difference between Brahma and you. What comes out of your rear side is just some dead matter. But from his rear side comes some abominable matter that's worse than what comes out of you, but it's alive. These demons come out, these yakshas and rakshasas. And immediately after birth, they're just so degraded due to their previous sinful activities that they just can't even control. They immediately have to have sex. And there's no Matajis around. So they just attack Lord Brahma, their own father. And he's completely horrified. What is this creation? What is this material life? This is abominable. Don't do this. I'm your father. And ultimately, he has to give up that body just to escape from them. So from the very beginning, this is what material life is all about. If we're not willing to live by religious principles. And when we live by religious principles, then we become more and more and more, even birth after birth, we become more pious, we become more saintly. Some of these little babies that are born, they look so nice. They have this little babies, and they look so helpless. But actually, in their hearts, some of them are mass murderers. And they're just waiting for their body just to get old enough so they could fulfill the desires they have cultivated in past lives. And some little babies, Prabhupada said, the babies that are born in the Hare Krishna movement, many are demigods. Demigods are standing in queue to take birth in the Hare Krishna movement. Because in the Hare Krishna movement, there is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming through parampara. They can end their sojourn of material existence once and for all, attain love of God through the congregational chanting of the holy names. It takes a very, very special and pious soul to take such a birth in the family of sincere Vaishnavas. But it is also explained in scripture where there is illicit sex. Oftentimes, ghosts and horrible demoniac beings, they take the opportunity to enter into the womb through that illicit act. And because there's so much illicit sex, without consideration of marriage, without consideration of principle, in this world, what kind of population? It's called Varna Sankara. Unwanted population. Uncontrollable population. If you ever seen, if you look in history books, you'll see little pictures of Hitler when he was a little boy. He was just like, there's pictures of him when he was a baby. He just looks like a nice little baby. And when he was a little boy of 2 years old and 3 years old, playing with toys, and it's, oh, so nice, so nice. But what's inside of him? He's just ready to get a body so he could just kill and exploit and try to conquer. Hare Krishna. And in Satya Yuga, you were so responsible for things that Kashyapa and Diti, they just made one little mistake in how they did it. And Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha came. Hare Krishna. So it's a very serious matter that the results of not properly living by religious principles not only disturb our own life, but destroy it, create great disturbance throughout the world. So here, from the very beginning of creation, in the very beginning of this day of Brahma, this message is given. How demoniac and how frustrating the uncontrolled desire for sex is. And how by following the principles of Varnashram, Dharma, we can gradually control these desires, and we can utilize that same energy and very positive spiritual activities and become purified. Is there any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, it is explained in the purport, when a person becomes free from sex life, he is promoted to the level of demigods. But there are many incidences also, like episode of Ahilya and Tara, where Ahilya and Tara, Brihaspati's wife Tara, the demigods also did not show proper behavior. So how do we understand this?
We don't want to be demigods, we want to become pure devotees. Because demigods are also, their mode of goodness, but still often very influenced by the modes of passion. And demons, they're in a mode of ignorance and influenced by the mode of passion very strongly. But because the demigods are essentially trying to serve the Lord, they're trying to perform their duties in the service of the Lord for constructive purposes to human society. When they fall prey to these passionate situations, they have to suffer. But they're ultimately forgiven because it's due to some uncontrolled conditioning. But essentially, they're trying to serve. So they have to suffer, but that suffering basically elevates them. They become elevated through their suffering. But demoniac is, they're not concerned with the service of the Lord. They don't even want to control it. Their goal is to exploit rather than to serve. So there's a difference. Yes, we read many stories in the Puranas about demigods who are victimized by these situations. But still, they're great souls. We have to honor them because they're servants of the Lord. Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak. What to speak of a devotee? Even if a devotee has difficulty, we should honor and respect them if they're sincerely trying to serve. We shouldn't judge them. But each devotee should understand that there will be a reaction and it's detrimental to my spiritual progress. So therefore we should try to live as strictly as possible according to the pure principles of our varna and our ashram. Any other questions? Yes.
Maharaj, you said in the course of lecture that in mode of goodness there is an immense fulfillment by maintaining. Immense fulfillment by maintaining in the mode of goodness. People observe this, they enjoy fulfillment, immense fulfillment by maintaining family and all. So this is a kind of envy to Supreme Personality of Godhead. Could you please elaborate on this point?
But it's a higher form. When we, the mode of goodness, when we take credit, when we want the honor and the satisfaction that I am the maintainer, that I am the provider, that is also karmic. It may get good results, but it still binds you to the laws of karma. Pious activities also bind you to the law of karma. However, that state is very important to come to, because from the mode of goodness we can transcend the modes of nature. From the modes of passion and ignorance we cannot. We have to come to the mode of goodness to transcend the modes of material nature. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. These four regulative principles really are not spiritual in themselves. They bring us to the point where we're more living in the mode of goodness. And from that point, when we chant the holy names, we have the greatest opportunity to transcend the modes altogether. So yes, we should live in the mode of goodness for Krishna. When we live in the mode of goodness for Krishna, that is Shuddha Sattva. That is actually beyond the modes of material nature. When the modes are mixed, when goodness is mixed with passion and ignorance, it's material life. But when there's pure goodness, without any tinge of passion or ignorance, that's Vaikuntha. There is no pure modes of material nature without mixtures within material consciousness. So when we want to do such good for others, but we do it in Krishna consciousness, as an instrument of Krishna with no ego, that is Shuddha Sattva. That is the position that we are all striving to achieve. Any other questions?
One more?
Yes?
Children, basically we sometimes we have to train children whom whose birth is not, we are not sure what was the consciousness in which they took birth, and many times like you have to deal with such children. So what should be our approach in training children without being accused of child abuse or something of that sort by the world?
Whatever a person's conditioning may be from the past, in whatever way a person may come into the world, still they have their free will. And if good association is given to someone, that can, the proper devotional compassion of a Vaishnava can influence a person's free will by which they can take to the path of perfection from whatever past conditioning they may have, from whatever type of birth they may have.
In case we observe some misbehavior in them, how should we correct them?
You're talking about in your Gurukula?
Yeah.
You should preach to them. We should preach to them. And if they're not willing to live by the standards, they shouldn't be in the Gurukula, that's all. There should be no violent punishment. There should be no torture. People who want to be there to get the wonderful facilities, you should give it to them. But children are children, they may play and they may do mischief, that's all right. You just have to preach to them. And you can have punishments like you don't play today, you chant japa. But you shouldn't have any worse punishments than that. You can't take away their food, you can't beat them. It's not all right. Before doing that, you should just tell them, go back to where you come from. So you should always be, you can be firm, you can chastise, but it should be in a mood of service. But if someone's really not willing to cooperate, then they shouldn't be in your ashram. But you should never resort to inflicting them with the results of your anger. That is an offense. And if people are willing to use their free will from wherever they're coming from whatever samskara is that may be in the past, if they're willing to use their free will to accept Krishna and the mercy of Vaishnavas, then they'll go back to Godhead. Whether they're Malechas, whether they're Yavanas, whether they're Varna Sankaras, anyone who takes to the chanting of the holy name and receives the mercy of the Vaishnava is better than a Brahman. That is a fact. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come in the age of Kali, in the age of Varna Sankara, to give everyone a chance to go back to Godhead. We have to take it. And if we take it, we're in the most exalted platform. And we should respect people for that. Arache Vishnu Shiladira Gurushu Naramatira Vaishnavi Jati Bodhi. One who sees the deity as made of stone or wood, one who sees Guru as an ordinary person, or one who sees a Vaishnav according to their material background, Jati Bodhi. That means they have a hellish mentality. It means they're in great illusion. If someone is chanting the holy names and sincerely trying to chant Hare Krishna and follow the principles of Krishna consciousness, just that sincere endeavor, according to Bhagavatam, even if he's dog-eater by his past conditioning, he's considered better than the Brahmin who is following all the 25 qualifications of Brahmin. Because he's trying to surrender to Krishna. So that is the power of bhakti. So therefore we are not so concerned with that, with background. We are concerned with a person's enthusiasm for devotional service, a person's willingness to strive for purity. That is more important. That is the mercy, the causeless mercy of the Lord being accepted. However, people who are from this kind of background, who don't take to devotional service, who aren't trained properly to live even according to pious principles, they can be terrible, terrible menaces to human society, to all creation. Even if someone has bad conditioning, if they have the opportunity to be trained and the willingness to do it, they can become saintly. But in today's world, not only is there uncontrolled reproduction of population, but there's no system to train anybody in the actual standards of ethics, morality, and devotional service. So it's a very bad situation. Therefore, there's great need for preaching, propagating the glories of the Yuga Dharma.